Hello and welcome to Money Talks with Luke and District Credit Union. My name is Paula Maguire, the CEO of the Credit Union. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Dave McCauley, who is the CEO of Dunor Credit Union in Dublin 8. You're very welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Paula, and thanks for having me here into what's a fabulous historic building, which I've never been in before, but beautiful building, nice setting. But not a million miles from the Dunor Credit Union.
Not a million miles, no. And we're just going to have a chat today, Dave, about the social impact of credit unions in Ireland. So we're going to look at the history of credit unions and up to modern day credit unions. You know, we'll start off looking back at the reason why credit unions were initially founded in the 1950s. What was the reason and the logic behind that?
Yeah, it's a great story when you think back on it, because actually the Dunor Credit Union is the oldest credit union in Ireland. And that was founded in 1958, very first credit union. It was actually founded by a couple of young sisters.
Yes.
And it was, you know, it was based around the drive and energy and vision of what were young ladies at the time. None of them had financial backgrounds.
Well, and I think they were teachers,
they
weren't
were
they?
Teachers, yeah, teachers and, you know, semi-professionals. But they were very conscious living in the Dunor area of Dublin, which is just on the edge of the Liberties there. Between Cork Street and South Circular Roads, beside St. Teresa's Church Parish. They're very conscious of the prevalence of moneylenders and the lack of opportunity, the unavailability of banks and credit facilities for ordinary people. And they attended a seminar in the old, I think it was called the Red Islands, up in Skerries, which was an old cooperative and discussion. And they met there was a discussion there from a visiting American professor who mentioned this concept of credit unions.
Yes.
And they took that back. They then engaged with the likes of Nora Herlihy from the Irish League Credit Unions and before that. But they actually set it up. They actually went ahead and actually set up a cooperative, a financial cooperative. Which, if they were to do so today, or try to do so today, they wouldn't be allowed by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Very probably not. Well, they would have been under the auspices of the friendly societies back in those days.
They weren't
really regulated, so you wouldn't be able to get it off the ground today, most likely.
Absolutely, you wouldn't be able to get off the ground. And what within the space of a year, they had close on £100 worth of savings from their neighbours and friends.
The local community,
And 100 members.
Yes.
And today, you know, here we are 65 years later, and Dunor Credit Union has never aspired or never wanted to be the biggest credit union in Dublin or even Ireland. So where we're at, you know, that's grown over the years to membership of 5,500 with assets of over 40, nearly close on 42 million and a loan book around 15 million.
Yes.
But of that, there's been thousands and thousands of loans, generations of families, many, many members who have all been empowered by the credit union over those years.
I think that was the key premise, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
The whole philosophy and ethos of the credit union movement was to empower the local people who couldn't get bank accounts if they weren't professionals and didn't have proper regular income. Mm-hmm. The banks didn't want to know them. That was the bottom line.
And also, you know, it was about financial literacy, financial education, and such like commons or old-fashioned things like which are probably more needed now than ever, such as thrift. You know, the little concept of thrift and saving and borrowing for what you actually needed.
And living within your means.
Yeah. And, you know, as a consequence of that, many generations, say, of people had those needs met, but a lot of those moved beyond needs to a situation now where, you know, credit unions finance holidays and give loans for ambitions, for dreams. And that sense of empowerment has continued.
Well, it allows people to do things that they wouldn't normally be able to do. For example, if they're living on social welfare or low income, you know, they can actually access those loans for holidays or, as you say,
absolutely,
to do home improvement works, to upgrade their car, anything that a normal family would want to do, you know, with their kids or
absolutely
whatever, and to bring them away for a week's holidays once a year. Or to, you know, for educational purposes, you know, allowing people to go to college that ordinarily might not have been able to afford it up to this point.
Yeah, my own circumstance, even myself, was like only for the local credit union, and my mother being a member of that, I probably wouldn't have went on to tour level.
Yeah.
You know, now that wasn't extravagant UCD, nothing like that. You know, it was very much walking and going tour level at night time and qualifying
Same
as accountant.
Same as myself.
And here we are sitting here now, you know.
But
it is that sense of enablement, empowerment, And those themes and those topics are still as relevant now as they were back in the 1950s, and probably just on a slightly different scale, but as a CEO of a credit union, you see that on a daily basis.
Well, I do know, Dave, that it was always something that was passed on to kids from parents. You know, I mean, my own father was a founder member of Palmerstown Credit Union, and my grandparents, my grandfather, Willie Kennedy, he was a founding member of Talla Credit Union. So my background is very long, goes right back. The involvement of particularly parents and then passing that credit union knowledge onto their children. And I know my dad opened all our credit union accounts with our christening money. Well, I can honestly say I still have my christening money, and I know that's kind of funny, but it's the truth, because once we turned 18, then our dad handed us our credit union books and off we went. We had been educated in how to use our credit union, and
absolutely,
you know, you don't withdraw those funds, you just borrow against them and pay it back and add to the funds. I think it's a good tradition to pass on to children.
Indeed, and even as an organisation themselves, you know, as I was 60, credit union 65 years old this year, was on our 60th anniversary, we were looking through some of our historic documentation, just rifling through some old boxes, and it was great to see, like, you know, the credit union back in the early 60s was able to give the seed capital and loans of seed capital to other credit unions that get established around.
Oh, yeah.
So we had Ballymun Credit Union, Rathfarnham Credit Union, which has now grown on to be a bigger credit union, and even the Civil Service Credit Union. And it was the money provided from the North Credit Union and the community in the North. So that idea of member helping member, neighbour helping neighbour, community help, you know, it's still as relevant as positive message today.
I know that there were other credit unions involved in the setup of Lucan back in the day, because a similar story to us is we were set up in 1968. But again, it was members of the local community and clergy came together and said they recognised that there was a need for this facility in the local community. Get people together, saving, and then use those funds and lend them back out into the community. I mean, it's a very simple idea, but it really worked. The whole idea is it lifts the whole community. So
Absolutely. As
each individual borrows, the money is going back into the community in varied capacities. And it lifts the whole community. So the community thrives as the members of the credit union thrives. And it has been proven to work. And it's still very effective today. You can see, I think we've one of the highest rates of credit union membership in the world.
In the world, yeah. And I mentioned the American visiting professor back in the 1950s. He was the one who actually provided, you know, support, encouragement, and ongoing engagement with the Bourne sisters,
yes.
Angela and Trass and Eileen. Imagine how difficult that was back in the 1950s,
yes.
You know, corresponded by letter. And yet he was volunteering and giving his time. And here we are now with a, you know, a very, very successful credit union movement, the most successful credit union movement in Europe.
I would
which is fantastic.
Say so, yes.
And actually, from a penetration rate in terms of a number of members per capita, we're probably the highest, most successful in the world, which is fantastic. So it all came down to that willingness to cooperate, willingness to share, and what were in very difficult circumstances. And here we are now with all sorts of modern technology, all sorts of instantaneous communication. I think the opportunities are even bigger and better and are broadening all the time for credit unions. So I think it's a very, very positive time for credit unions.
It is indeed. And I know, Dave, for example, you're actually on the board of the Irish League of Credit Unions, in addition to your CEO role. And the league itself is very involved in helping African communities to set up credit unions to help them out of poverty. So it's great to be able to see that a group of people from Ireland will fly over regularly to meet different groups within Africa in different countries to help them set up their credit union movement. So it's great to be able to give back like that to other developing countries.
Yeah, it's a fascinating project. It's been really, really successful in countries like Sierra Leone. They're, you know, really successful in Gambia, now moving into Ethiopia. But to see these self-help organisations being funded by Irish members of Irish credit unions, and the how that kind of can generate and give momentum to communities and local businesses and small,
yes.
like micro businesses in those communities. You know, this could be, you know, somebody who basically is a delivery guy, who basically is moving from foot to bicycle and now to motorbike.
Yes.
And the impact and how that kind of impacts him, his family, and then the broader community, because what they do is they tend to reshare and recycle that community and that knowledge and that extra few bob back into their own community. So
self-conscious
empowerment is really important.
And I said it's the small incremental changes of improvement. Absolutely. That's what the credit union is about. You know, we're not about putting 300 million into developing a new office block. You know, it's the community-based small investments and giving people loans to buy seeds for crops and things like that. It's that sort of small area
small
to help people to move out of poverty.
Small steps
and to provide for themselves and their family.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the same back in the 50s and 60s for Dublin, because I know in the 50s, Ireland, particularly Dublin, had some of the worst slums in Europe, and unemployment was very, very high. So the credit union really was vitally important for each of the communities when they were founded back at that time. And unfortunately, there kind of was a view at the time that the credit union was the poor man's bank. Mm-hmm. Because you couldn't get a mainstream bank account, so therefore you must be poor if you had to go to the credit union. But I think that was completely inaccurate. And there is maybe a view that that's still the case, but I think people really need to look at the modern credit union. So yeah. We'll kind of move up to the modern day now, and we'll say most credit unions now have a modern outlook. We all have a digital presence, so we can provide our services online. People can apply for their loans online. They can draw the loans down online with DocuSign. We've really moved on a huge amount. Mm-hmm. But the reasons for providing the credit are still there. The people still need access to credit. The banks aren't always willing to give credit to everybody. And God forbid you had any arrears during the last Great Recession, you're not going to get anything from the banks.
Yeah.
So I really think that we have moved on in leaps and bounds. I know Donore certainly has.
Yeah, when you look back at Donore and other credit unions have amazingly been such resilient and such strong organisations. We've come through the financial crisis, the downturn, we've come through COVID, and now we're in a cost of living crisis.
Without costing the taxpayers anything.
We didn't cost taxpayers anything. In fact, there was, I think the figure was 200 million, which was put aside for the credit unions in case of, you know, intervention funds. And of that, 96 or 97% was actually handed straight back to the Exchequer, which I think
needed.
Is a remarkable success story.
But so, it really did show the resilience and the importance of credit unions. And I mean, even talking about COVID here, every business was impacted.
And even in COVID, like practical examples, like we were essential businesses, essential services, so we stayed open.
Yes.
So credit unions never closed. And very few credit unions around the country actually did close their doors. But even at that, we looked at what our services were at that time, and obviously there wasn't so much demand for financial services, certainly not for loans or anything like that. But we asked ourselves, what's our actual role, Jordan, at this really unprecedented crisis facing the country? And one of the things we said, you know, we had staff sitting in there, and we know our members, we know who's vulnerable, we know who may be, you know, lonely, who has family around them, who may need support. And our staff, without instruction, would often simply just pick up the phone and ring somebody.
Yeah.
And that sense of engagement, that sense of connectivity, that sense of constantly putting your member first and the member being the priority for the credit union, I think that really was highlighted during the whole problem of COVID. And it really stood to us as an organisation that we were able to do that. So it really lent credence and strength and backed up our argument that we're not-for-profit organisations.
No, and we're owned by the members.
We're owned by the members.
Which is critical.
And we're a community-focused organisation. We're around, you know, enhancing our communities and around the betterment of our communities. So I thought that was really interesting. And I'm delighted to say, you know, here we are coming out of all that those issues. And in fact, if anything, the credit union movement is stronger. It's more resilient. It's a very agile organisation.
And I think that was definitely proven during COVID, for sure. Because I know from speaking from our own experience that we were able to adapt very, very quickly on the ground, where maybe the bigger banks were a bit slower because they were waiting on instructions from head office. Whereas we could immediately make the necessary changes in the local area. You know, if we needed to be open certain days, then we were open those days.
If you recall, Paula, we were actually the ones who addressed the potential arrears problem.
Yes.
Before we got instruction.
We did.
We actually put in place, credit unions collectively put in place mechanisms for dealing with the arising arrears, which was happening because people were being, their jobs were being,
And I would say it wasn't perfect, but it worked.
It actually worked. And our members appreciated. And it was one of those few occasions where the central bank didn't necessarily criticise us, because effectively what they did was they copied and pasted what we did and told everybody else to do the same thing, which was ideal in the situation. But, you know, that reaction, that ability to react quickly And some people and think collaborate. Credit unions are slow. And,
you know, I know that credit unions are all individual to a yes. large part, but I mean, there was a huge amount of collaboration went on, particularly during difficult times like COVID and that. And one of the key things I like that came out of it was the metal groups. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of credit unions formed metal groups or support groups during that time where we had these regular Zoom meetings or Teams meetings and we could share issues, what was working, what wasn't working,
yeah,
moan, whatever else, whatever other reason we had for having the group meetings. And they've actually continued very successfully. Well, I know the Dublin one has, and I think there's about 30 credit unions in it, is there?
There's 30 credit unions of all shapes and sizes signed up to it. We meet every 2 weeks, and regularly we'd have, about 15 to 20 the CEOs on that call. And we're just discussing issues. And I think, you know, what it's done is it's removed the barriers. There was a credit unions from about 2012, probably up to now, were competitively put against each other.
They were.
That was seemingly a
tactic.
A tactic. Because more credit unions exist, there's more regulations to be done, there's more work for the central bank, and maybe the design is that there's fewer credit unions. However, you know, with regards to collaboration and cooperation for credit unions, we've never been really, really good at it.
No. So for a cooperative society we haven't,
no. Yeah, so hopefully we're improving. Hopefully we're getting better. I think with new legislation coming in, there's an opportunity to formalise those collaborations and those that collaborative ability going forward. And that'd be really, really interesting to see how that happens. So we're as a small, mid-sized credit union, we're actually looking forward to that.
Yeah. I definitely think it would be a shame to lose that agility and the ability to react to your local community. It became a bigger entity, for example. You're kind of missing out on all the things that go on at a local level within a community, you know, for a smaller credit union.
I think,
because you have so much so many communities to look at.
Yeah, actually, and I think that's key to the success of the Irish credit union movement, is that we very much have our own identity and our own engagement and our own association with our communities. And we have this term, know your member. Well, you know, we really do. We really can get down to the individual circumstance of somebody. And often, if something's put on paper and, you know, it's black and white decision, but fairly often with the credit unions, you know, it's still looking at people whites of their eyes and determining the overall view of that person, their history, their relationship, their standing, their character.
Well, I think the bank's assessments are done a lot by computer.
Absolutely.
So it's black and white. Do you have arrears? Yes. Then the answer is no, you're not getting that loan. Whereas it is much more subjective with the credit union. So we're happy to look at the whole. So we look at the member that we know, as you say, know your member. So you're looking at the whole and you're saying, well, look, they had that one blip. Mm-hmm. They've had a very good credit history other than that. Sure. Or we kind of work our way around that. And we do get people sent up to us by the banks where they can't provide them with credit. They'll come up to us and we can. So we'd have a different approach.
The other thing is, because we tend to have generations of family, we have the great ability to have peer or the granny pressure.
We do. And actually, we still have the grannies coming in with all the books and paying all the accounts. Less so now, maybe, than a few years ago.
Sometimes the granny's the best debt collector we ever have. But it is a simple concept. You know, when you have something rooted in the community like that, people will say, you know, if you're not paying back, you know, you're effectively not paying back your grandmother. And who wants to disappoint their grandmother?
Well, that's it. That's it.
Not to trivialise it.
Exactly. So it's just in the context of the modern credit union, how we still impact our local communities. I mean, for starters, I know in Lucan, I mean, we're issuing about 13 million in loans a year back out into the community to members. We're a wee bit bigger than Dunor here in the west of Dublin. So we have about 17,000 members, and we've 90 million now in member assets under management. So we've grown quite substantially with all the new growth in Lucan. But it's not to be trivialised, the fact that there's at least 14 million going back out into the community every year to work and to lift the community. Mm-hmm. And that's a very important thing for members to understand. Like, you save with us, but those savings are utilised. So they're either out in loans or they're in investments.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when I looked at this a couple of years ago, it struck me, it's kind of being a little bit odd. Credit unions are not-for-profit cooperatives, democratically owned, ethically run, very transparent. And yet, the narration around, or the narrative around credit unions has been really around your financial success.
Yes.
You know, what's your return on assets? What's your loan-to-asset ratio? What's your balance sheet size? So, you know, when you look at that and you say, actually, hold on, but we're all these things. So by just measuring ourselves solely on the collective of financial results, are we in fact doing a disservice to our members?
Yes. Well, so, I think a lot of those measurements are kind of, I deem, kind of synthetic measurements.
Absolutely.
They're not really telling us anything about
They're not telling us anything. Exactly. So what we did in Denora back in 2019, we asked really, you know, could we establish what the real worth of the credit union is? So what's the real value to our members? Is it the size of the loan book? Or is it all those intangible stuff and the tangible stuff that we do?
Yeah.
Such as, you know, obviously a donation back to the community or a scholarship is a monetary value.
Yes.
But what about having the service there, having a convenient open service, having a face-to-face, having access to cash, having a facility where people who, through their probably medical issues or their behavioural issues, would not necessarily be welcome in a bank.
Yes.
And yet they can come into into a credit union or into our credit union and deal with somebody they know and trust on a face-to-face basis. And, you know, and even though that person now saying, now I'm going to put the money in your inside pocket here and I'm going to zip your inside jackpot. So we said, how do we actually measure that? So in 2019, we undertook a measurement of our social impact.
Yes.
So we actually did that through a process called social return on investments. Now, there's a multitude of different ways, but as a financial institution, we felt it was important that we attempt to put a quantifiable or numeric value on everything we kind of do. You know, that meant an independent, transparent process was engaged in, entirely at arm's length to the credit union. And in the end, what was found was that, and this is a process that can work for different organisations, the first time I was using a credit union here in Ireland, but what I found, for every €1 input to the World Credit Union, there was a corresponding €10 impact on the wider community.
Wow, yeah, that is significant.
So effectively, in 1 year, there was a 2.5 million of quantified inputs.
Yes.
So on the base of that, on the numeric 10-1, effectively, the credit union was deemed to be worth 25 million to the local community.
And that is significant.
That's a huge finding, and that's a huge, and people say, well, question that. Well, disprove it.
Yeah.
It's not for us to prove it, it's for you to disprove it.
Yeah, but I mean, we'd be involved in a lot of things.
Absolutely.
You know, from educating the members,
educating,
students, talks,
school visits, quizzes, art and school quizzes. There was a whole multitude of stuff, and stuff that we never kind of understood, but there's a value around how people identify with the credit union.
Yes.
There was a value around how people had a sense of ownership to the credit union.
And trust is a big thing. Yeah.
There was a value around their own sense of belonging to the credit union. And that value didn't come from the credit union. It came from them as the members.
And
it was
the
actually
owners.
They said, we find this valuable. So in essence, what we've come back and says, you know, is it good enough to say the credit union is worth 40 million in asset size? Actually, is the real worth of that credit union actually 65 million because of all these other items we did as our social impact? But what that's allowed us to do as a credit union is kind of refocus, and I wouldn't say go back to basics, but also just look at our purpose again as a credit union. Say, what are we really here for? Are we here just as a, you know, to provide loans and savings facilities?
Yeah.
Well, banks can do that. But are we here as an organisation that empowers the community and therefore strengthens the members and consistently improves our members' lives and provides those opportunities? So that's what we as in the North Credit Union have focused on, and that's become our kind of our prime strategic focus for the last while.
Very good.
So that's allowed us to really diversify our thinking into other opportunities. We have the prevailing climate emergency now. There's no doubt that things are, you know, climatically things are going to get worse. So for the credit union, we've even asked ourselves, how can we actually, you know, do things within the credit union, but also with the credit union with the community or as an anchor for the community to broaden that. So we've actually moved to set up what's called the Denora Early Sustainable Community.
Yes.
And that whole idea is to change behaviours, to change physical infrastructure in the community to enable that change, to lessen or bring down the climatic footprint of the community itself.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Highly ambitious. But can it be done? Absolutely.
Of course it can, once the community is pulling together.
Absolutely.
As they have done in the past, you know. And again, like, I just think that the whole idea of being not-for-profit, being a safe haven here for members to save, and then that goes back out into the community to work. So it's not going to Germany, it's not going to France, it's staying right here, a few miles square from the credit union. and that's it. So it's going back out to work there. And absolutely, I think that's just the critical piece, you know, and our focus again isn't on profit. It's, you know, we are not for profit, but still it's nice to get a return as well for the members at some stage. But at the same time, like, it's all the other things that are going on. Like, even doing this podcast is a way for us to give back, say, accessible financial information and other information to our members that they can have a listen to while they're out walking or whatever.
Walking, yeah.
So I think it's very important.
You know, people to listen and say, oh, credit union, I haven't thought of credit union. Or credit union's old-fashioned, or the credit union is for poor people. No, we're not. We're very much for we reflect the modern Ireland.
Yes.
You know, in the Donore area, for instance, you know, it's a community that has evolved. There's a very settled old community there, you know, people who are there for generations. But it's also an evolving, changing, yes, community. There's people who are more affluent who probably now can't afford the Dublin, yes, 6, Dublin 4 addresses, who certainly see Dublin 8 as a traffic proposition because of the location of the town. There's also the new Irish people who are coming in, student population. So as a credit union, you know, we try and reflect the values of that kind of changing, yeah, changing Ireland.
We're doing the same here now. It's the diversity, exactly, in Lucan. We have the older parts of Lucan that are well established with the older generations, but we have such an influx of new people moving into Adamstown and Lucan,
yeah, absolutely,
over,
yeah,
the years, that Lucan has really grown beyond nearly all recognition. And again, like, we have to cater for that. So diversity and inclusion would be a key part of our strategy.
And that poses, yeah, challenges, you know, how to, you know, like, how can we be more reflective of that broadening community? How can we get those people engaged with us, you know, what's seen as a traditional kind of Irish thing? It's quite interesting. We see now through our connections that populations such as Polish people, Brazilians, they understand and they're aware of credit unions, which is fantastic.
Yes.
You know, they,
yeah,
you know, they have credit union organized,
yes,
a credit union, and they'll drift in. We don't have a big Jamaican population here, or West Indies, Caribbean community here,
yeah,
but they would have a very, very strong association with credit unions.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, we're not unusual in that regard, that we're trying to broaden our membership base, but effectively all we're really doing on every day is recirculating and recycling money back to our communities, which
that's,
I think,
exactly,
is so important.
It. And I think that's the importance of credit unions, and it's really to get people to understand that it is a community-based credit union for the benefit of the community.
Absolutely.
So we're not here to make a massive profit or anything like that. We're working with the community so that everybody does well out of it. So every individual member and the community as a whole will be improved by the presence of a credit union.
And like yourselves, you know, how people benefit from credit unions is kind of often not really visible.
Yes.
So a couple of things we do is, you know, we have obviously free insurance on savings and associated,
yes,
life assurance. But other thing, like, and it's similar for Lucan Credit Union, we do an awful lot of community donations.
Yes.
We actually have set up
a fund sponsorship. Yeah.
And last year, I think we donated close on 50,000 to local sports organisations and local schools and residents associations and old folks. And for many of those groups, they're not in receipt of any state funding.
No.
They're kind of ad hoc. Some of their ad hoc bodies, they're kind of...
But particularly some of the
smaller groups.
And I know we would also sponsor and donate to a lot of the local groups. Again, some of them to be quite surprised that somebody would step in and give some funding to, yeah, help them, because these are just local people that have saw a need to occupy maybe young people and set up a particular club. And they're trying their best to work with the young people. And it is nice to be able to give them some money and say, we recognise what you're doing, it's a great job, and there's the money so that you can go to that competition or whatever it is that they want to go to. So it
and
works very well.
And the funny thing about it is that credit unions are very shy about that.
Yes.
We're almost like too humble to, you know.
Yes.
And like, I find it astounding that I watch ads on certain financial organisations or large retail organisations say, oh, we've donated 3-4 million to, or nationally across all community organisations, and collectively credit unions have never once turned around and says, actually, know how much we have
as
a credit union movement,
exactly,
and how important we are to all sorts of organisations. And that's one of the challenges I have as you know, with the league board, for instance, that I want to see those figures.
Yes.
I want to see us own that position and say, hold on, if we weren't there, if credit unions didn't exist, where would that money come from?
Yes.
So I think, you know, people will say, well, Cleary's is gone and never changed. And, you know, and yeah, you know, everybody loved Cleary's, but it's gone. But two different things. Credit,
yes,
unions very much are, don't use them, you will lose them.
Yeah.
But more importantly, that people do have an attachment, and yes, people have a sense of belonging to them, and people have a sense of loyalty. And I think, you know, it's incumbent on the credit union movement itself to basically to leverage off that and to remind people on an ongoing basis that, you know, so much good.
We're here. Yeah.
And we're here. But we're here for the benefit of you as individuals, but also the wider community.
Exactly.
Like, we do a little litter pick now, you know, once a month with our, yes, a couple of local businesses, you know, and our staff go out and actually just pick up litter and go around, and
keep
they're
the
visible.
Place looking well.
Keep
yeah.
the place looking well. Even down to, like, your own office here, you know, holds a really nice prominent position on the main street here in Lucan. Our office now, you know, it's owned by the people, it's owned by the community. We've put extra lighting on it. We've made sure there's a bus stop outside it, so that's well lit up during the winter
yes.
nights. Small stuff like that just makes communities feel safer and more welcoming. And there are little things that we as credit unions have to do as well.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's the little things, really,
little
that make
things.
The difference.
Constant,
you know?
Small little things.
That's
all
it.
The time.
That's it.
And start announcing them. And broadcast that you
yes,
do them.
Yeah, and really tell what credit unions do within the community, yeah. you know, rather than keeping it hidden.
Keeping it
to ourselves. We need to speak up a bit more. So, I mean, that's fantastic, Dave. And we would encourage any listeners here to actually go and find out more. If you haven't either been in touch with the credit union for a long time, or maybe you haven't been ever a member and you're thinking about joining, we would definitely recommend you go to our website and have a look. I know the Lucan website is www.lucancu.ie, and you want to say the Donor website?
www.donorcu.ie.
Yep.
It's quite easy to remember because we have a great marketing tag, Do More with Donor.
That's it. We see that. Well, that's great. Thank you very much, Dave. That was
Thank
very
you.
Interesting. This podcast was produced by Lucan District Credit Union. Lucan District Credit Union is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.